In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There are so many things that are urging you to be self-sufficient, independent, ruggedly individual, self-autonomous, and self-satisfied. It isn't just the forces of social media or the flesh and blood of political movements that urge you to be that way, as strong as those things are these days. It is the rulers of this darkness, the powers of this darkness, the world forces of this darkness, and the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places that combine with your fallen flesh almost constantly to draw you away from God and into your own little world with its twists and turns, sometimes positive, sometimes negative, sometimes blah, boring, but always alluring. It is against these self-manifestations or self-indulgences that the Holy Spirit urges you, as he wrote by the hand of St. Paul, to take hold of and make use of the tools of armor, the tools of defense and attack, all of which originate from and are sustained by God himself and not by you. The tools of truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, which declares that God has reconciled you and the whole world to himself through Christ Jesus and his crucified, risen, living body and blood. And faith, which takes hold of this sure and certain salvation, and salvation itself, which is not just a word, but it is what you have by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the living and active Word of God. So in every case, then, at all times and in all places, it is the Lord and the strength of His might in which you are strong, and not in and of yourself, and the weakness of your flesh with its pursuits of self-indulgence, self-determination, and paths that wander from truth and righteousness. But what kind of Lord is this, in whom you have strength? And what is this power of his might, which you may claim as yours? It is the same Lord who has compassion on this royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. And he has compassion on both, the royal official and his son, because he does not desire to see the separation that death causes. He has the power, not the powers of darkness. He has the might to heal simply by his word, so that you may simply believe what he says to you. Now this royal official, he's intent on having Jesus come down to Capernaum. In his mind, Jesus had to be there, bodily, visible, tangible, able to deal directly with the son's illness that placed him at this point of death. He's looking for something extraordinary. He's looking for a sign and a wonder. And he's not alone in doing so, for Jesus, although he's speaking to the royal official, includes others when he says this: unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. First way to hear this, and the easiest way, is as if Jesus is chiding the royal official and everyone around him, as if to say, you people are so faithless, the only way you'll believe is if you see something special and spectacular. And that's true, isn't it? By nature, you are faithless. By nature, you think it's all up to you. And the second way to hear this is matter-of-factly, as if Jesus is stating the simple fact that signs and wonders must accompany his ministry, that it is necessary for these signs and wonders to be present so that they may be witnessed and written down as a testimony that it is the mighty hand of God at work in the lowly carpenter's son from Galilee, so that the greatest sign of the cross is raised up for the nations, so that you will know that God himself has made payment for your sin, not you, God himself. Although both of these are a good way to hear what Jesus says, it is the first of these, your faithlessness, that most keenly applies here. For in your body and in your heart and in your mind and your spirit and in your behavior is chaos, disorder, brokenness, messes everywhere. Your life spins and spirals out of control. It crashes in catastrophes of varying degrees. Your body, it grows weary. It fails. It falls apart. And those who care about you and rely upon the world, they also suffer death, while you stand by faithless and helpless and powerless to save them. Nothing else puts you in your place so squarely and so decisively as death does. 6 feet under and everything. So, in order to find peace and rest and health and wholeness and contentment and satisfaction, not only in this body and life, but in the resurrection of all flesh and forever and ever, in order to live now and forever in the way of wisdom, in the fear and the faith of God, in the knowledge and to the honor of his name, to live the life for which you've been created, you need the Lord Jesus to forgive your sins, to save you from death and the grave, and to pour out his Holy Spirit upon you. You need him, like the royal official and his son need him. You need his forgiveness, first of all, for it is not life but death to remain in your sins, at odds with God and at odds with his word. So in the place of your faithlessness and sin, you need the new way of life, the way of faith, the way of love, which is only in Christ Jesus. You need him to come and to teach you his way and to knit your heart to him. And indeed, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and is doing for you and for all the nations and for all the sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, not just once upon a time, but even here and even now. He draws near to save you by his grace, by the charity and compassion of the Holy Triune God, not by peculiar signs and wonders, but by his simple spoken word, which first created all things and now speaks to save you eternally, and by his cross of lowly suffering. You see, the almighty and eternal Son of God has been sent by his Father to become flesh and to bear your sin and to be your Savior. He has fulfilled the word and the will of God in his own body, from the womb of his mother, the Virgin Mary, to his crucifixion under Pontius Pilate. He did it all. For he was born and lived under the law in order to redeem those who were under the law, namely, you. By his innocent suffering and death, and by his holy and precious blood, he has atoned for your sins. And not for your sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He has redeemed his good creation from the curse of death in order to make all things new and restore them to life with God in the beauty of his holiness. Not only is he your merciful and great high priest in all things pertaining to God and the once and for all sacrifice to end all sacrifice for sin, but his own crucified and risen body is the temple of God in heaven and on earth right now. Which is to say that wherever his word is preached, wherever his cross and resurrection are proclaimed unto repentance and forgiveness, wherever his baptism, his body and blood are administered, there do the name and the glory of God abide with his people, and that means here. In his body, your prayer is heard, your sins are forgiven, and your daily needs are provided. As the author of salvation in his own body of flesh and blood, he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He exercises this authority by his ministry of the word. That is to say, as God the Father sent his Son in the flesh to accomplish his purposes by his cross and resurrection, so does the incarnate Son send others with the special authority of his gospel to forgive sins and save sinners in his name. For he loves the nations, and by his word and spirit he establishes and he builds the synagogue of his church on earth to gather all people to himself. And so it is, he calls you to himself. He forgives your sins by the preaching of this gospel, healing you simply by speaking as he did for the royal official. And so it is that you receive his life and you live by faith in his word, that is, by faith in him. You fear and love and trust in him. You call upon his name. You look to him and expect good things from him, not relying on any merit or worthiness or strength or clever thoughts in yourself, but solely upon his mercy. Signs, wonders, these you do not need. These have all been done already as proof that God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself, the greatest sign being Christ crucified for you. A horrible sign on the face of things, but a saving reality for you who abide in his holy name. And remember, when the called ministers of Christ deal with you by his divine command, it is the Lord himself who draws near to you and cares for you with his powerful word of the gospel. Now, it's true, at the end of every day and at the end of all your days, you're an unworthy servant. For even at your best, you've done no more than your duty and are still inclined toward faithlessness. And yet you live by the mercies of Christ Jesus, who provides for all your needs of body and soul and gladdens your heart with his great joy. For you, his servants, are dear to him, and you are valued by him. You are children of his own. You are children of his own God and Father. Pastors and parishioners alike are precious to the Lord, each of them within his or her own calling. You are precious in your own place, precious to the Lord who has called you by his name to be his own dear child and his own dear heir. And here in this sanctuary, he invites you into his home to abide in safety under his roof, to recline here at his own table, for he has given you a place of honor, to rest in his peace, to partake of his feast, his lavish banquet, and to hear and to receive the word that he speaks for you here, just as he spoke to the royal official. By his grace and by his grace alone, you too shall be healed unto life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.